Pray you to help me, help my mind to be clear, Lord. Help me to be able to say the things you want me to say, that everyone will be attentive and listen, Lord, and that we might learn something from your word, Father. We love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Ephesians chapter number 2, and I'd like you to go ahead and go with me to the book of 1 John, chapter number 2. 1 John, towards the end of the New Testament there. 1 John, chapter number 2. And if you want to go towards the end of the New Testament, 1 John is one of the last books, right before 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, or right before the book of Jude and Revelation, 1 John, chapter number 2. And tonight, like I said, tonight we're finishing our series on the subject of exposing false religions. And we've been preaching through and talked about a lot of different religions: Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Calvinists, Catholics. Who else? Good night. I can't think of anyone else. What was that? Seventh-day Adventist. There you go. And tonight I want to deal with, I think that's all of them. Tonight I want to deal with the one religion, the one false religion that for some reason all, it seems like all Christianity, including independent fundamental Baptists, people that we agree with, people that we would consider brothers in Christ, people that preach the King James Bible and preach salvation by grace through faith, who sing the old hymns and go soul winning. For some reason, it seems like all religions give this false religion a pass, and the religion I'm talking about is the religion of Judaism and the Jews' religion. And if you're here tonight and you're thinking, what are you talking about? I've always heard, you know, I've never heard this before. Just all I ask is just look at the scriptures with an open mind, and I think it'll become very clear. But the religion of Judaism, for some Christian, who's ever heard this term before? Judeo-Christian. I've heard so many Christians say, you know, we are a Judeo-Christian religion, and they talk as if the Judaism and the Jews, a religion of today, I'm talking about the synagogues, I'm talking about the rabbis, I'm talking about what the Jews, you know, what they believe in Israel and what the Jews today all around the world believe. The Christians, for some reason, act as if the Jews' religion is the one religion that gets a pass, that gets to go ahead and be welcomed in. And people will talk, you know, Christians today will talk about how we've got to love Israel and we've got to protect Israel and we've got to do this and that. And I want to tell you something. And the first thing is this. Judaism is a false religion. Just as much as any other religion is a false religion, Judaism is a false religion. Let me prove it to you. You're there in 1 John chapter number 2? Look down at verse number 22. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 22. The Bible says, whosoever denieth the Son, who's the Son? Jesus Christ. Whosoever denieth the Son, I'm sorry, begin reading at verse number 22. I started reading verse 23. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Now, you got to understand something. And I don't have time to prove it to you because I'm going to go to a lot of passages tonight. But that word Christ there, Jesus Christ, the term Christ was not his last name, okay? It's not like you're saying his first and last name. Christ is a title. And the word Christ means Messiah. That's what the word means. And I can prove that to you at another time. I don't have time to do it. You go ahead and study that out yourself if you don't believe me. But the word Christ means Messiah. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 21, in verse 22, it says, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Now let me tell you something. The Jews' religion of today, the religion of Judaism, denies Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They'll say that Jesus was a good teacher. They'll say that he was a good prophet. They'll say that he was an all right guy, but they will not accept him as the Messiah. You understand what I'm saying? They're still looking for the Messiah. And they say Jesus was not Messiah. And here's what they'll say. They'll say, we agree with the Old Testament, but we reject the New Testament. We agree with Abraham and Moses and the law, but we don't agree with the Gospels, and we don't agree with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is not, they don't accept him as God, and they don't accept him as the Messiah. They don't accept him as the Christ. They're still looking for a Christ. And the Bible tells us, look at verse 22, who is a liar, but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. You see that? The Bible says anyone who denies Jesus as the Christ is an antichrist. The Judaism religion of today, let me tell you something, is an antichrist religion. I don't care what John Hagee says. I don't care what every other Baptist says. I don't care what any other Christian says. Anyone who says anything other than the fact that the Jews' religion of today is antichrist needs to read the Bible. Because the Jews' religion rejects Christ, Jesus, as the Christ. And according to the Bible, they're antichrist. Look at verse 23. whosoever denieth the Son, the same, look what it says, hath not the Father. See, they'll say, well, we believe in God the Father, but we don't believe in Jesus as the Son. But whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son, look what it says, hath the Father also. Remember we talked about this last Sunday night? Why can you not accept the Father without the Son? Because the Son is the Father. Jesus is God. He is God in the flesh. See, but the Jews' religion of today says, no, we're still looking for a Messiah. We're still looking for the Christ to come. We reject Jesus as Messiah. And by the way, that's why the Bible says they're an antichrist religion. You know why? Because guess what? They're looking for the Christ, right? The Messiah. The Messiah already came. Remember the Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not? But they're looking for the... They say Jesus wasn't the Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah to come. Well, guess what? There is a Messiah coming. He's called the Antichrist. He's going to come and pretend as if he was Jesus Christ. And the Jews are going to accept him right in. Because that's who they're looking for. They're looking for the Antichrist. And the Bible says, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Go with me to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. See, the Jews today, they'll say, well, we accept Abraham. We accept the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We accept the law and we accept the Old Testament. But they'll say, we do not accept Jesus Christ. They'll say, we believe in Abraham, but we do not believe in Christ. We believe in Moses, but we do not believe in Jesus. And look at what the Bible says. John chapter number 8, look at verse number 56. John chapter number 8 and verse 56. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the Jews' religion at that time. Some of the religious leaders. And in John chapter 8 and verse 56, the Bible says, Jesus said, your father Abraham... Now, he referred to Abraham as their father because they were physical descendants from Abraham. And he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see... Look, he says, my day. This is Jesus speaking. He says, Abraham was glad. He rejoiced. He had joy when he saw my day. This is Jesus speaking. And he saw it and was glad. He says, Abraham saw my day, and when he saw my day, he was glad. Look at verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? So they're like, Jesus, you're like in your 30s. You're not even 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? Now here's the funny thing. Did Jesus say that he saw Abraham? That's not what he said. He said Abraham saw him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And they said... And then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Now I want you to know, keep your finger there in John 8 and go real quickly with me to Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to show you verses we already saw, but I want you to see them again. Exodus chapter 3. Real quickly. Genesis, Exodus, Exodus chapter number 3. You're saying, Pastor, I came to church for a dynamic sermon. Dynamic sermon was this morning. We're studying the Bible tonight. Exodus chapter number 3. Look at verse number 13. Exodus 3:13. Look what it says. And Moses said unto God, behold, remember we saw these verses last week, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. He said, here's what you're going to tell the children of Israel. I am has sent me unto you. You tell them that I am that I am. My name is I am. And when they ask you, you sent them, you say, I am has sent you. That's what what God told Moses. Go back to John 8. Look at verse 58. Look at verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, look what he said, verily, verily. The words verily, verily mean truly. He says, truly, truly, I say unto you, look what he says, before Abraham was, look what he says, I am. Do you see that? See, God said, I am that I am. And what that meant was, he was Jehovah God. What that meant was, that he was self-existing. What that meant was, that he was without, remember it says in Hebrews, without father, without mother, without beginning of days or end of life. He from, like we saw this morning in Psalm 90, he is God from everlasting to everlasting. He has always existed. There is no, he didn't say I was, he didn't say I will be. He says, I just am. Always existed, and here's the thing about God, he's self-existing. We weren't created. He exists out of His own accord. He just is. And then Jesus Christ looks at the Jews and He said, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. And they said, Abraham's not, you're not even 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? And He said, before Abraham was, and He uses these blasphemous according to their thinking, these blasphemous words according to what they believe. He says, let me tell you something. Abraham, I didn't see Abraham. He says, before Abraham was even created, He said, I am. And those words, I am, are very important. He could have said, before Abraham was, I already existed. Couldn't He have said that? But He chose His words carefully. He said, I am. And people will say, well, Jesus never said that He was God. Well, that's, number one, a lie. It's very blatant in places where He told people He was God. But here's one of the places where He's telling the people, He says, look, I am. He said, before Abraham existed, I existed. He said, before you existed, before you were born, He says, I am. He says, before Abraham was, He says, I am. And they understood what He said, because look at their reaction, verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at Him. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them and so passed by. They understood what He was saying. They got so mad they picked up stones to kill Him. See, let me tell you something. Jesus was God. And Jesus is greater than Abraham. And Jesus said, before Abraham existed, He said, I am. Could you imagine how annoying it would be to like grow up with Jesus? You know, as a child? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I often think about this. And it's just, imagine playing tag, imagine just playing with Jesus. You know how kids will play and they'll be like, you know, my kids will do this. They'll be like, last one to the, you know, upstairs is a rotten egg or something, you know, like, last one to the bed is a rotten egg or something like that, you know. Imagine playing with Jesus and you beat him. And He's like, well, before the bed was, I am. You know what I mean? Like, before that was even there, I am. He's like, well, you don't know Abraham. Well, before Abraham was, I am. That's what He's saying. He's like, look, I've always existed. I'm God. And here's the thing, and here's what people need to understand. Jesus told the Pharisees, He said, you know, Abraham did not do what you're doing. Abraham would have rejoiced. Not only would he have rejoiced, he did rejoice to see my day. See, people think today, the Jews say, well, we believe in Abraham, but we don't believe in Jesus. Well, the problem with that is that Abraham believed in Jesus. And let me tell you something, if Abraham was alive today, he would not be a Jew as far as Judaism. He'd be a Christian. He'd be a saint. He'd be a believer. He'd be a Baptist preacher. That's what he would be. Because he believes in Jesus Christ. And he's not an antichrist. And who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is Christ? He is antichrist, is what the Bible says. But the Jews say, well, we believe in Abraham and in Moses. You can't believe in Abraham and Moses and not believe in Jesus Christ. You can't believe in God the Father and not believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. The Jews' religion is a false religion. If Abraham were alive today, he'd be a Christian. If Abraham was alive today, he'd be an independent fundamental Baptist. He'd be a King James Bible preaching, soul-winning Baptist. That's what he'd be. Because he believes the Word of God, and because he believes in Jesus Christ, and because he believed in salvation by grace through faith. He was the father of faith. You understand what I'm saying? You think he'd be a Jew, lighting candles and trying to earn his way to heaven? You say, well, he was born a Jew. We'll get to that. You got to understand a few things. See, first I want you to understand, because you've got to understand, the Jews' religion of today is a false religion. And it is not the same religion of Abraham. It is not the same religion of Isaac. It is not the same religion of Jacob. It is not the same religion of Samuel. It is not the same religion of Joshua. It is not the same religion of David. It's not. Let me prove it to you. Go to Psalm 74. Psalm 74. You should be able to get to Psalm quickly. We spent a lot of there this morning. Psalm 74. Look at verse number 8. Psalm 74 and verse 8. I want to show you something. Psalm 74, 8. Psalm 74, 8. The Bible says, they said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. And they have burned up, I want you to make note of this, all the synagogues of God in the land. Now is that a good thing, synagogues of God? I would say so. The Bible refers today as the church of the living God. That's a good thing. And I want you to understand, in the Old Testament, God looked at this religion of the Jews. And He looked at their synagogues. And He said, those are the synagogues of God. You know why? Because in those synagogues, they were preaching God's word. In those synagogues, they were preaching salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You say, well, they didn't know Jesus Christ in the Messiah. They knew the Messiah was coming, the Christ. And in Psalm 74:8, God refers, the Bible refers to the synagogues as the synagogues of God. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with me that the book of Psalms was written in the Old Testament and was a long time ago? Go with me to Revelation chapter number 2. Should be easy to find towards the end of the New Testament. Revelation chapter number 2. Would you agree with me that Revelation comes later than Psalms? Would you believe that? Would you agree with me that Revelation is the closest book towards our time? Is closer towards our time than the book of Psalms? In the book of Psalms, they were referred to as the synagogue of God. But look at towards the end of the Bible what they're referred to. Revelation chapter number 2, look at verse number 9. Look what it says. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say, look, I want you to make note of this. I know the blasphemy of them which say that are Jews and are not. Okay, make a note of that. The Bible says there are people who say they are Jews, but they are not. But, look what it says, are the synagogue of, what's it say?
Satan.
Is that the same as God?
No.
Now, if you have an idea, it might say God. I don't know. But look, in the book of Psalms, they were the synagogues of God. In the book of Revelation, they're the synagogues of who?
Satan.
You say, well, that's just a coincidence. Go to Revelation chapter number 3, look at verse 9. Revelation chapter number 3, look at verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of what? Satan. Which say they are Jews and are not. Are you seeing the pattern? Remember that. But do lie. They lie. They say they're Jews, but they're not Jews. They lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Talking to Gentiles. See, God refers to them as the synagogue of Satan. Look, the term synagogue, there's only one religion that uses the term synagogue. And it's Judaism. Christians don't say we worship at the synagogue. They say we meet at church. We assemble at church. Muslims don't use that terminology. You know who uses that terminology? Jews. Judaism. The false religion of Judaism. And let me tell you something. Judaism under Abraham and Judaism under Isaac and Judaism under Jacob may have been the synagogues of God, but the rabbis and the false religion of the Pharisees today... I mean, who is it that crucified Jesus Christ? The Jews. Who is it that persecuted the Apostle Paul and all the brethren in the book of Acts? The Jews. And the Jews' religion of today is a false religion. That place is not the synagogue of God. That place that meets on the Sabbath day is a synagogue of Satan. It's a false religion. They're an antichrist religion. Because they deny Jesus as the Christ. It's a false religion. You've got to understand that. Let's dig a little deeper. Go with me to Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9. I said all that to say this. That was the foundation. That was the introduction. Look at Romans chapter 9. You've got to understand the concept of Judaism. Or Jews. And Romans chapter number 9 kind of spells it out for us. We're going to look at a few passages tonight. But I really want you to grasp this and understand this. And I need you to understand that what you're listening to me say tonight goes against the grain of 99.9% of Christians, even other independent fundamental Baptists. You say, are you anti-other fundamental Baptists? No, I love fundamental Baptists. I am a fundamental Baptist. But I'm more for the Bible than I am for a movement. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm more for the Word of God than I am for a title. I'm a Baptist. I love the name. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of some Baptists, but I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. That's who I am. I was Baptist born. I was Baptist bred. And when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm not changing the name. I'd give up the name Christian before I gave up the name Baptist. How do you like that? Okay. I don't think that's right. Well, you know why I would? Because Catholics call themselves Christians. Mormons call themselves Christians. Jehovah's Witnesses call themselves Christians. But guess only a few people call themselves Baptists. And that's who I am, and I agree with that. But it doesn't matter who disagrees with the Bible. If they disagree with the Bible, they're wrong. And look at Romans chapter number 9. Look at verse number 1. The Apostle Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and let me just say this, if the fundamental Baptists are wrong on this, you better dead sure know that the Southern Baptist, General Baptist, American Baptist, and any other Baptist isn't even close. I mean, they don't even have a King James Bible. You think they're going to be right on anything else? But anyway, look at Romans chapter 9. Look at verse 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Now, the Apostle Paul is making a point of telling you, I'm telling you the truth, because the next statement he's going to make is so radical. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, look what he says, verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He says, I'm sad. He said, I've got sorrow. He said, I've got heaviness in my heart. Why? Look at verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. That word accursed means to be cursed or damned. He's saying, I wish that I could lose my salvation and be damned to hell. Be cursed to hell. Be accursed from Christ. Look what he says. For my brethren. Now what brethren is he talking about? He's talking about spiritual brothers? Because you know how you and I are brethren in Christ, right? But you ever heard a guy walk up to somebody else and say, hey brother, how you doing? Because you know there's spiritual brethren, but there's no physical brethren. You know, we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. Physically, we're all brothers and sisters, physically. But spiritually, only the saved are brothers in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he says, look, verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, and then he defines himself, the Bible always defines himself, look what he says, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. That word kinsmen is a very specific word. The word kinsmen means a relative. You ever heard of like your next of kin? You know what I'm talking about? Your closest relative? That's what the word kinsman means. So he's not talking about spiritual brethren. He's talking about his physical brothers. Paul was a Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin and all that, you know, a Pharisee of Pharisees and all that. He says, I wish I could lose my salvation if it meant that my brothers, my physical kinsmen could be saved. Isn't that an amazing statement? Look at verse 4. Who are his kinsmen? Look what he says. Who are Israelites? He says, my physical flesh, my kinsmen, my brothers, my relatives, they are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. All of that is true. He says, my physical brothers are Israelites, and those Israelites, they got the promises. They got the covenants. They got the law, and they got all those things that they received. Look at verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, I want you to make note of this, concerning the flesh, okay? Do you understand that we're talking about physical Jews? He says, of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, which is true. Read Matthew chapter 1. Read the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You can follow Jesus Christ's descendant from Abraham all the way down to Jesus Christ. He was a physical Israelite descendant of Abraham of the tribe of Judah. And he says in verse 5, he's talking about his physical kinsmen, the Israelites who are Jews by flesh. He says, who are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. And I say amen, amen, and amen to that. Look at verse 6. Not as though the word of God had not have taken that effect. And I want you to notice this. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Do you see that? That word of there means from. And he says, they are not all Israel, which are from Israel. Israel is referring there to a man. Remember Jacob? Remember when he wrestled with God? God changed his name to what? Israel. Israel, Jacob, had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel because they came from Israel. Do you understand what I'm saying? And in Romans chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of or from Jacob, Israel. Do you understand that? Do you see what I'm saying? That is, they which are the children of the, what's it say? Flesh. You see verse 8? I want you to see this. I know you'd rather I just yell and scream and call you lazy or whatever, but you got to understand this. Look at verse 8. That is, they, you guys are like, Pastor, nobody liked that. Look at verse 8. Just pay attention. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Do you see that?
Amen.
Who's ever heard somebody refer to the Israelites as God's chosen people? I mean, my whole life I've heard that. The Jews, Jerry Seinfeld, Steven Spielberg, and every other, I don't know any other Jew, but there's a lot of famous Jews in Hollywood. I can't think of their names. You tell me because you know. You know, and all these guys, but I'll say it again. Jerry Seinfeld and Steven Spielberg, these are the children of God because they're the physical descendants of Abraham. Is that what the Bible says? Look at verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
Amen.
Okay, so who's counted as the seed? The children of the promise. Make note of that. Make note of that. I want you to see something. Make note of that, please. Look at verse 25. If you pay attention and get through this, I promise at the end, I'll scream and yell and call you all lazy and do that, okay? Just pay attention. Look at verse 25. As he saith also in Osi. Osi is the Old Testament name for the book of Hosea. He's going to begin to quote scripture. As he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. You see that? Look at verse 26. And it shall come to pass, that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So he says, there's going to come a place, a time, when I'm going to call my people, the people who are not my people, I'm going to call those people the children of God. Look at verse 27. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel through the number of the children of Israel. He says, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Make note of that. He says, though the children of Israel be as the number, as the sand of the sea, there will be a remnant that be saved. Now, does remnant mean all of them? No. Remnant means a few. Look at verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short of righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Skip down to verse number 30. I guess don't skip down to verse 30. Let's just keep reading. Look at verse 29. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth have left us a seed, we had been as Sodom, as Sodoma, and been like unto Gomorrah. Talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. I wish I had the time to develop this. But do you remember how Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember when Abraham had a talk with God? When God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham said, if I find 50 righteous people, would you spare him? And God said, I would spare for 50 righteous. He said, if I find 40, would you spare? Well, if I find 30, would you spare? If I find 15, if I find 10, if I find 5. And at the end, God said, if you can find 5 righteous people, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And he couldn't find 5. So he had to send the angels in and bring Lot out and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Paul is saying about the children of Israel, he said God would have destroyed them like Sodom and Gomorrah, except there was a remnant. There were 5 or 10 or 15 righteous people in the nation, so that he saved them. Look at verse number 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, that's you and I, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness, which is of, make note of this word, faith. He says, are we going to say, verse 3, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained unto righteousness? Look at verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness? Do you see the comparison there? He's saying, Paul's saying, I love how Paul writes. I mean, I know it's God, but it's through Paul. And he's saying, so let me get this straight. He's being the devil's advocate. He's saying, are you telling me that the Gentiles who followed not after righteousness obtained, but the Israelites who followed the law of righteousness did not obtain? Look at verse 32. Wherefore, that word wherefore means for what reason? He says, here's the reason. Here's why the Gentiles attained to righteousness and the Jews did not. Look what it says. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by what?
Faith.
Isn't the Bible consistent all throughout Scripture? For by grace are ye saved through faith. Why did the Jews not attain to righteousness, but the Gentiles attained to righteousness? Because the Gentiles attained righteousness by faith. And the Jews attained righteousness by the works of the law. And by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Amen. Look at verse 32. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him, who's the rock of offense? Jesus Christ. Shall not be ashamed. I wish I had time to develop that. We're going to see so many scriptures that we could go on a tangent, but I just don't have the time. Look at Romans 9. Well, keep your finger on Romans 9. Go with me to Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4. And let me just tell you something. This is why you need Verity Baptist Church. And you say, I don't need Pastor Jimenez. You may not need Pastor Jimenez, but you need a type of church like... Sacramento needs a church like this.
Amen.
Because you're not getting this type of preaching at Mars Hill. You're not getting this type of preaching at Calvary Chapel. You're not getting this type of preaching at Calvary Christian Center or Capital Christian Center or any other church I can think of that's a name, but I can't think of them right now. But all of them. You know, the average church, you read three verses and they give you a good feel sermon and then you're done and then it's back to the rock concert. You need to be in a place that's teaching you the Bible, and I hope you're understanding this concept. You're there in Galatians chapter 4? Look at verse number 22. Galatians 4:22. These are the kind of sermons I like. I like learning the Bible. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. Who are the sons we're talking about? We're talking about Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was born of Hagar. She was a bondwoman. She was a slave. Isaac was born of Sarah, who was a free woman. He says, for it is written, verse 22, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he, who was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh. But he, of the free woman, was born by promise. Did you keep your finger there in Romans 9? Look at verse 7. Romans 9, verse 7. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Well, what do you mean, in Isaac shall thy seed be called? Look at verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So who's counted for the seed? The children of promise. Go back to Galatians 4. Look at verse 23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by the promise. Now I'm just going to answer the question now, because somebody's going to come to me and say, Pastor Jimenez, you are so dumb. You are so uneducated. If you would have at least completed 1 year of Bible college, you would have understood that this is talking about Ishmael and Abraham and Isaac. It's talking about the Jews and the Muslims, not the Jews and Christianity. Keep reading. Look at verse 24. Which thing is an allegory? That word allegory, the word allegory means an expression through symbolism. He's using symbols. He's using these two women and their children as a picture of something. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. There's two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which guardeth the bondage, which is Agar, or Hagar, the bondwoman. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, look what it says. The Apostle Paul is speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And he said, now we. Who's he talking to? Who's the book of Galatians written to? To the Galatians. Were the Galatians Jews? No. They're Gentiles. Galatia. And he says, but we. Now we, brethren. Look what he says. As Isaac was, are the children of what? Promise. See, go with me to Titus. Keep your finger there. Or go with me. Do whatever you want. But just go to Titus. Chapter number... See, this is what happens when I go off script and I start telling you things. Go to Titus, chapter number 1. Titus chapter 1, look at verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie... What's the next word? Promised. I guess I got to let you get there. Titus 1, look at verse 2. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, I want you to see this word, promise before the world began. See, you and I are the children of promise. See, the allegory, the symbolism is this. Abraham had a son, Ishmael, who was born of the bondwoman, who was born of a slave. She represents the flesh. Then he had another son who was born of the promise. He was born of faith, because remember, God promised Abraham a son, and he exercised that faith, and he believed that Isaac would come, and then the Messiah came through Isaac. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Verse 27, go back to Galatians 5, verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many children than she which hath an husband. Now we, Galatians, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Who are the children of promise? The Galatians. Paul, Gentiles, you and I. Look what it says. But as then, he says, in the same way, because remember the story of Abraham? Ishmael and Isaac? Why did Sarah get mad and have Hagar cast out? Do you remember why? Because Ishmael was picking on Isaac. Do you remember the story? And look at verse 25. But as then, he says, just like back then, he that was born after the flesh, that's Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, that's Isaac, even so it is now. I don't know if you're getting this. But he says, look, back then Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, persecuted the son of the free woman. And he says, and Paul says, just like today, the son of the bondwoman, which is the son of the flesh, is persecuting the son of promise. Now, who's the son of promise? Believers. Who was persecuting Paul all throughout the book of Acts? If you were with us as we preached the book of Acts, who was it?
Jews.
The Jews. The Jews are the children of the flesh. But we are the children of the promise. See, they would have you believe that this is talking about the Muslims and the Jews. Let me tell you something. And you know, I kept going back and forth whether or not I would preach on the Jews or whether or not I have two sermons or one sermon. And I decided to just preach on the Jews because I was debating whether or not to preach a sermon on Islam and then preach a sermon on Judaism. But let me explain to you why I decided to go against the sermon on Islam. And this is going to offend so many people that it doesn't matter. Islam is Judaism. It's the same thing. Islam says they came from Abraham. And they did. They're descendants of Ishmael. Islam says, we believe that Jesus is not the Messiah, but that he was just a good man and a good prophet. But we believe in Abraham. He was our father. And we are descendants of... It's the same thing. And they want to... And they act like they're different. And they got to fight or something. They're the same thing. They both believe in work salvation. They both reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And they're all going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved. That's what the Bible says. See, Ishmael represents the children of the flesh. That's Ishmael and physical Jews. Isaac represents the children of promise. That's anyone who believed in the promise that Jesus Christ would forgive you of your sins. Go back to Romans. Go to Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11. Look at verse number 1. Romans chapter number 11, look at verse 1. Now you got to ask this question. Is God done with the Jews? Now, here's what you, and I want you to understand this. Because God's not done with the Jews as far as a nation. Now, when I say that, I mean that different than when John Hagee says that. Please understand that. But in Romans chapter number 11, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, I say that, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, who he maketh his intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Do you remember that story? We just preached on that on Sunday morning like 2 months ago or something. Remember that story? Elijah said, Elias is Elijah. He said, I'm the only prophet. And God says, there's 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Now here's what you understand. Paul is using that illustration about the Jews. Here's what he's saying. The Jews have been cast away, but there's 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to the synagogue of Satan. He says, there's some Jews who are saved. He says, there's a remnant. Remember that word? Remnant. Look at verse 3. Or look at verse 5. Even so, then at this present time also. Do you notice how he's making the illustration? He says, in the same way it was for Elijah, it's the same way today. Even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. See, you can't be saved by grace and be saved by works. You see that? He says, if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more work, no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. Try saying that 5 times fast. Number 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now, I want to say this. Because you talk to these Baptists, and they'll say this. The election is not the Jews, or is not the Gentiles. The election is the Jews. That's what they'll say today. These pre-trib rapture people who just need to read their Bibles and get right with God, that believe that we're not going to go through the tribulation and all this and that, they'll say, when the Bible says that He'll bring out His, you know, when it talks about the elect, they'll say, well, that's not the Gentiles, that's the Jews. Well, if that's the Jews, then why is He putting the elect versus the Jews? Look at verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. He's saying, what are you saying? Israel didn't obtain it, but the election did obtain it. But these pre-tribbers will tell you, well, you know, the election are the Jews. Well, how are they the Jews if he's putting them anti each other? You understand what I'm saying? He's saying, Israel didn't obtain, but I'm saying the election have obtained, and the rest were blinded. Go with me just real quickly. Go to 1 Peter chapter number. I just got to do this. I'm sorry. 1 Peter. Keep your finger there. We're coming back to it. I just want you to see this real quick. Just because I want to make this point about the election. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. Okay, that word strangers means foreigners. You ever heard of someone being foreign? Something being foreign? Something being strange? He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Those are all Gentile nations. Look what it says, verse number 2. He says, to these strangers, to these Gentiles. Look what he says. Look what he calls them. Elect. According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. The Bible calls the Gentiles the elect, not the Jews. And he says, go back to Genesis 11. He says, Israel hath obtained? Hath not obtained? Romans chapter number 11. You just got to read my mind, okay? We're doing fast. Romans chapter number 11. Look at verse 7. What then? Romans 11, 7. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. Does that sound like a good thing or a bad thing? Unto this day. Look what it says. Just play. Stay with me. I really want you to get this. Look at verse 9. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them, lest their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Talking about the Jews. He says, God forbid. But rather, through their salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. I want you to see this. He says, did Israel fall so that they can no longer be saved? And he says, no, God forbid. He says, actually, because they fell, because they were cast away, the gospel was able to go to the Gentiles. Remember, he said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then he says, go to the house of Israel. But when the house of Israel rejected, he said, go to the Gentiles. First, when Jew here, he said, only go to the borders of Jerusalem. Only go to Judea. Only go to the Israelites. But when Jesus ascended, he said, go ye therefore into all the world. Because the Jews rejected him, that opened up the avenue of us being able to receive the gospel as Gentiles. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the what? Gentiles. I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke tribulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. He said, here's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm trying to get so many Gentiles saved through Jesus Christ that the Jews might get jealous and say they want to get saved too. Do you see what it's talking about? Look at verse 15. For if the casting away of them, the Jews, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Look at verse 17. If I lost you, I apologize, but I want you to... here's what I'm going to bring you back. I want you to understand this. Look at verse 17. You got to understand this if you're going to understand this doctrine of Judaism. And if some of the branches be broken off, okay? Remember when Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches? That's the analogy he's using. He says, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, that's the Gentile, were grafted in among... You know what the word grafted means? It means when you put a living like branch of a plant or a tree into another plant that is not its natural one. You know what I'm talking about? I was doing air conditioning for this lady, and she said, I don't remember what the fruits were, but she said something like, I've got an apple tree out there that's growing plums. And she's like, yeah, someone grafted in the branches of the plum. So you can take a branch off of one tree that's alive, and while it's still alive, engraft it into another tree, and it gets its nutrients. And it's not that natural tree. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at verse 17. He said, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, that's you and I, the Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root, that's Jesus Christ, and fatness of the olive tree. He's saying, look, you were taken off a wild tree, and you were engrafted into the olive tree, and the branches of the olive tree were broken off. That's what happened to the Jews. They were naturally born out of that, physically born out of that olive tree. But because of their unbelief, and because they rejected Jesus Christ, they were broken off. And then Jesus said, go unto all the world and preach the gospel. And these Gentiles, they believed in Jesus, and he took these wild olive trees and engrafted them into the tree. But notice, 18, he said, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. He said, look, don't boast against those people that got taken off. He said, the only reason you're on is because of Jesus Christ, not you. He says, but if thou boast, thou boastest not the root, but the root thee. Look at 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken up. And thou standest by, what's it say?
Faith.
Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter number 2. We're wrapping it up. I just want you to see this, and I want this to make sense to you. We're just going to look at a lot of verses in Ephesians 2, and then a couple verses in Matthew. I'm just trying to be honest with you. Ephesians 2, look at verse 1. Okay, we can do this quickly. Man, I've only been preaching for 47 minutes. I've got at least 13 minutes before I start feeling bad. So Ephesians chapter number 2, look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened. The word quickened means made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins? Now, the book of Ephesians is written to who? Ephesians. Which are what? Gentiles. These are not Jews. He says, you hath he made alive. You hath he quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and sins? Doesn't that sound like your testimony? Sounds like mine. Number 2. Wherein, in times past, ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Okay? Does that sound like your testimony? That's definitely your testimony, let me tell you. You were, you know, going after the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of our mind. And notice what he says. You used to be by nature. Remember that wild olive tree? By nature, you were the children of what? Wrath. Not the devil. That's a different thing. People like to say, unbelievers are the children of the devil, and believers are the children of God. That's a sermon for another day. But that it says you're the children of wrath. Okay? Even as others. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You see how this whole passage is about salvation? It's about being saved through faith. You were in your trespasses and sins. You were dead in your sins. You were falling after your lust. But he quickened you. He made you alive. You were a child by nature of wrath. But now, look at verse 6. And he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Beautiful verses. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye... I want you to notice this. He says, wherefore? The word wherefore means because of this. Because of what? Because of the fact that you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Because of the fact that you were living in lust and in the lust of your mind and the flesh. And He quickened you and He saved you and He made you alive by grace through faith. He says, because of all that, look at verse 11, wherefore, remember that ye, who's talking to? Ephesians, Gentiles, being in times past Gentiles. He said, you used to be Gentiles. In the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now, understand that. He's saying, you are called uncircumcision by the people who circumcise in the flesh. Those are the Jews. Look at verse 12. That at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens. Have you ever heard of an illegal alien? You know that the term alien is not like sci-fi. It's like a foreigner is an alien, a stranger is an alien, someone from another country is considered an alien. You know what I'm talking about? He says that at the time ye were without Christ. He said when you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Who's ever heard? Isn't the state of Massachusetts called the Commonwealth of Massachusetts? Who's ever heard? Isn't there like a state? Is that Massachusetts? You know your history, your geography. Amen. That's good. Commonwealth is a phrase used for governments. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts. There's countries that are called the Commonwealth of whatever. And I want you to notice this. He says, wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. He said, you were a Gentile in the flesh. He said, you were called the uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh by hands. That at the time you were without Christ, he said, when you were not saved, when you were without Christ, being aliens, you were aliens, you were foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel. Notice it says, and strangers, the word stranger means foreigner. He said, you were an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, from the government of Israel. You were a foreigner, you were a stranger from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He said, you were an alien to the commonwealth of Israel, to the government of Israel. You were a stranger, you were an illegal immigrant, and you did not have a green card. He said, you were not part of the nation of Israel. Look at verse 13. But now, see, your paperwork went through. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both. Who's the both referring to? The Gentiles and the Jews. That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Look at verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Let me tell you something. There was a time when you were a stranger, you were a foreigner, you were not a part of the nation of Israel, the commonwealth of Israel. But when you got saved and you became the son of promise through Isaac, He said, I grafted the wild olive tree into the olive tree, and you became a fellow citizen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But who got broken off? The natural branches. Because of what? Their unbelief. See, here's what you got to understand. Just go with me to Matthew chapter number 8. I'll finish here. I'm going to tell you about one verse. I'm not going to go there. But do you remember when God gave Abraham the Abrahamic covenant? What did He promise him? He made two promises. He said, your seed will be as the sand of the sea. And He said, as the stars in heaven. Two descendants. One represents the physical seed, the sand. The other represents a heavenly or spiritual seed, the stars. See, He said, you're going to have physical descendants, Abraham, a physical nation of Israel, but you're going to have spiritual descendants. And here's what I want you to understand, and maybe I've done a poor job of doing it today, but I want you to understand this. What made the Jews of the Old Testament, the children of God, was not the fact that they were born physically into the Jewish nation, but the fact that they were born again spiritually by faith. What made Abraham a Jew of God was that he had faith and he believed in God. The same thing that saved Abraham is the same thing that saved Isaac, is the same thing that saved Jacob, is the same thing that saved David, and it's the same thing that saves you and I. Faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Jews. And the physical Jews who rejected Jesus Christ said, I don't need them, I'll break them off. They're not the children of God. But today, Baptists will say, we've got to protect Israel. We've got to defend Israel. We've got to, you know, we want to vote for George W. Bush because he says, I'll stand with Israel and we will bless them, we'll bless them and curse them, we'll curse them. Look, let me tell you something. That promise does not apply to a bunch of antichrists who deny Jesus Christ as a Savior. You say, who did that promise apply to? You and me. Because I got engrafted. You want to know who the children of God are? You want to know who the Jews are today? You're looking at them. Say, Pastor Jimenez, I didn't know you had Jew in you. I probably don't. Some people say I do. I don't know. But I'm spiritually a Jew. You ever sing the song when you were a kid? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. What's it say? I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord right on. You know what I'm talking about? See, it's this idea of the children of God being that the Israelites are God's chosen people, it's a myth, it's a lie, it's not true. The way you become a child of God in the Old Testament is the same way you become a child of God in the New Testament, through faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God, and his faith was counted for righteousness. We're not dispensationalists. We don't believe that in the Old Testament they got saved by works, in the New Testament we're in the age of grace, and in the age of the church, and in the age of this. And look, it's all grace, it's all faith, it's all believing in Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 8. I'm done right here. Look at verse 11. If you don't understand that, I mean, do you realize that we literally read the equivalent of like 4 chapters in one sermon? And if you walk away saying, I still think that Jerry Seinfeld is God's chosen people, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how you could walk away from that and still think Steven Spielberg is God's chosen people because he happened to be born into the family. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. You know, you don't get a free pass because you were born into the right family. You understand that? Everybody is condemned because of their sin. And everybody has an option to be saved. Look at Matthew chapter number 8. Look at verse 11. I'm done. And I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Jesus speaking to the Jews. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He says, you know what? Jesus says, you know what? In heaven, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're going to sit down with a bunch of Gentiles. He said, people are going to come from the east and from the west, from all over the world. And they're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what the sad thing is? Abraham's descendants, the people who should be the children of the kingdom, the people who came from Abraham, they're going to be cast out to outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a reference to hell. He says they're going to die and go to hell. Why? Because they're a false religion that does not believe in Jesus Christ. But he says, you know what the sad thing is? You people, you Jews, you Muslims, who say that you believe in Abraham, who say that you believe in Jacob and Isaac and Moses, you say you believe in the law, but you reject Jesus Christ. You know what the sad thing is? That before you get escorted to hell, you're going to watch Abraham sitting with a bunch of Gentiles, a bunch of Hispanics, a bunch of Americans, a bunch of Chinese, a bunch of whatever. Because they got into the kingdom of heaven the same way he got in, through faith in Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of people giving the Jews a pass just because they happen to be born into the right religion, the right family. You know what? Should we defend Israel? I think every nation ought to be autonomous. Let them fend for themselves. And let America fend for itself. And they don't have anything special. And I'm not anti-Jew. I'm anti-false religion. So, well, what should we do, Pastor? Go get a Jew saved. So they can be grafted back into the olive tree. So they don't have to die and go to hell. So they can go to heaven. But they have to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as God in the flesh. Otherwise, you're not saved. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church, Lord. Thank you for the fact that there is a place in Sacramento that's preaching the Bible unapologetically, going through teaching doctrine. And though there are so many people in this city who just want to go to church to have a rock concert, there's still a group, there's still a remnant who says, you know what, I want to learn God's Word. I want to know what I believe. I want to understand the Bible. I pray this sermon would help people to understand our stand against false religion is not against people. We love people. We don't want them to die and go to hell. That's why we study these things out. But our stand against false religion is against false teaching and false doctrine that's going to send people to hell. I pray you'd help our church to be a soul-winning church. I pray you'd help our church to be a church filled with people that loves this community and wants to go out and get them saved. I pray you'd help us to be a productive church, a church that will get to work. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Yeah.